Did you use the word to describe me?
I may have thrown it out there to see if I could sneak it through.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't think he's a either.
You know my opinions on that word.
I know. I didn't mean it. I just wanted to.
That is not making it. That is somehow not making it into the podcast. I'm editing around that because I draw the fucking line here. I choose hills to die on, but this is it.
But so, if you do that, if you cut that out, then you can't keep in the part where you get to cuss me out right now. That's the Sophie's choice of this dilemma.
Oh, no, no. I have some ideas for how to get around this. Trust me.
Oh, God. Well, I'm scared, but go for it. Hello, Internet, and welcome to a special episode of K-Pop Shenanigans. I'm your host, Chase Wassenaar, and we are about to look at the month of June, a very busy month, a very interesting month, a very wide range of songs in terms of both genre and quality. And so I need to have my full cast list of co-hosts with me here to break it all down. And I am excited to say we are back as a four-person unit, starting with Shay, back after several shows away. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm glad to be back on the show. I just got some new K-pop albums today. And it'll be exciting to talk about this really weird month. Luckily, we only have one big news story, even if it's not very positive. And I'm excited. It should be pretty good.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you back on as well, and we're sure the listeners are too. Of course, we also have Kristen. Kristen, how are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm excited that the gang's back together again.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we have our lovely editor, fresh off the heels of putting together that K-pop girl group fantasy draft, this lovely person, Zach. How are you doing, man?
Fresh is not the word to describe that, but I have no notes. I don't know what we're doing. Let's go.
Awesome. I love the confidence here. We're just going to jump into it. Just like last month, we're going to split up between the news and half of the songs in episode one. Episode two is going to be the second half and the 60-second segments. But unlike last time, we actually were selective in the number of stories that we decided to talk about and the number of songs, as much as it will break my goddamn heart what songs were left off of the songs we all want to talk about list. But before we get into that, we do need to get into one news story, a news story that is so big that we could not avoid talking about it. It is literally the one thing that we said would have to happen for us to get back to the Burning Sun controversy and everything that's been going on around it. YG has stepped down from YG Entertainment. The Ding Dong the King is dead, and I could not be happier about that, though the circumstances, there's a lot to unpack here. Essentially, this comes down to a lot of police corruption charges, ideas that YG was trying to interfere with investigations into the drug scandal of BI from Icon, into a lot of the Burning Sun stuff. There's been just a lot of scandals over the years. This is the one that kind of became too much for him to overcome in that regard. He stepped down. His brother was CEO for a second, and then he had to step down.
Actually, his brother has been CEO for a while now. He's been YG has been, he's basically run the place, but his brother has formerly been CEO.
Thank you. Okay. So the brother has been in charge. He had to step down. And so now they've had to appoint a new person to take over. This would be Hwang Bo-kyung, who has risen from CFO to the new CEO, the first female CEO of a major, major K-pop label, as far as we can tell. Zach, you clearly have more of an understanding of the ins and outs of YG as a business than I do. Can you talk about what this means and how we got here?
Well, the answer to how we got here is that people have hated YG for a long time. And the fact that all of this, you know, people hated him well before any of this stuff has happened recently. It's been well known for treating idols badly. And there's also the weirdly questionable circumstances under which he and his wife met, which I'm not going to go into now. But he and his brother had been implicated in a lot of the same things that were, that the Burning Sun thing has been around, the tax evasion and the police corruption and everything. And so now YG, or Yang Hyun-suk, has stepped down from, I believe his role was called something like chief creative officer, and his brother, Yang Min-suk, has stepped down from CEO. Now, what exactly this means is that they are still large shareholders in the company. Between the two of them, they own about 20% of the stock. I think YG himself owns about 16% and his brother a little less than 4%. So they still obviously have a large say in things because they're part of the board. The question at this point becomes, will the other 80% think that they are bad enough, that their presence is toxic enough to the company that they overrule them? Or do they manage to hold the loyalty of enough of the other large stakeholders? And I'm trying to remember exactly who are the other, because there are a few other big companies, Naver, which is big, I believe social network type site. I believe Tencent owns some of it as well. I could be completely wrong on this. But if those companies agree that YG and his brother are a bad influence, they will probably put someone else in charge and shut them out as much as is possible with what they own. If not, then it's unclear what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's hard to say that this is the end for that very reason. They clearly have that financial stake in everything. But at the same time, the public mistrust around all of these different aspects of a case that is so much bigger than any one K-pop company, but certainly is hard to disentangle. It's hard to see how they get to wash their hands clean of this and go back to resembling normal.
Especially because it's not like they're exactly swimming in money right now. Their share prices have been collapsing all year. In the March podcast, I commented on something like, yeah, YG has taken a hit recently, but this company is more than just a stock drop over the last few months. But it's kept going. It really hasn't stopped. If they were making a bunch of money while this was happening, you know, it would be very easy to make the case of, oh, these guys aren't actually hurting anything. But clearly this is not going well.
No, it's not going well. And I think that this is one of those things where we're going to have to watch this story and see whether this can turn things around or if this only precipitates an already tough situation. Shay, you obviously have been our K-pop veteran, someone who's been around and enjoying this genre longer than the rest of us. Yeah.
At least I don't have the title right now.
That's true. Congratulations on that. I will always be sure to use that terminology depending on who is on the show, just because both of you. No one seems to want to embrace it. Embrace your role as experts, guys.
Embrace the knowledge.
I'm being a K-pop veteran. I started listening to K-pop in 2012, which 7 years.
That's 7 years of knowledge of YG and all of the craziness. Well, the thing is, what everything.
I was kind of laughing about was, if you told me back in 2012 when I first got into K-pop that YG was going to collapse, I wouldn't have believed you. Because when I first got into K-pop, I started with Big Bang, and they were really big at that point. That was like when Fantastic Baby came out, and everyone was like, I also graduated in high school, and I didn't really pay as much attention to them anymore. So I was just like, yeah, there's the big three idol groups. Companies, SM, YG, and JYP was the big three. So this was like crazy to me. Just being like, wow. Yeah, because as time went on, it's been 7 years, I was like, oh, wow, things are being sketchy. And it just gotten worse and worse. And like, it was crazy to me that this has happened now. Because I mean, what for me, when I started out and I was like, oh, it's the big scandal, it's like, oh, yeah, SM, their sleeve contracts. And
yeah,
I mean, like, the fact that SM's still doing fine. And like, yes, it's not like YG is doing worse, but like, my friend would just tell me about all the bad things SM had done. So it was surprising to me that YG has either done worse and or just got like finally coming down on it. But I've also been out of touch with things for a little bit because I've been busy. But I just think like, I'm really glad that there's now a female CEO. I know we were talking about like, we don't know if, like, how long this will last or if it literally is, like, kind of, like, placeholder until we figure out what we're doing or anything like that. But
to me, this feels like we need somebody, and the CFO of the current company is probably about the easiest person to slide into that spot of, like, look, just make sure money's still coming in.
Yeah, but I would love to see what, like, if we did have a female CEO of one of the big three, like, one of my questions would be, like, oh, we have a female CEO. like one of the, like, I know we've talked about, I don't remember on the podcast, just like some of the problems that we have with YG's marketing tactics, like are for Chase and Kristen, like, are we going to get more Blackpink now because there's a different CEO? Or like, but I don't know. I don't know because it's never happened before.
Yeah, it would be good, but just given all the circumstances to take this position in, I don't like her chances.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack with that. I do want to quickly circle back, Zach. You touched on that YG hasn't been doing very well. I want to put a number on that. So on Friday, January 4th, the company was worth 48,400 Korean won per stock. That was where they were on the market. Right now, the high of today, July 1st, when we're recording this, was 28,950. So that is about a 40% drop, I believe, just doing the math off the top of my head.
And also, it's not like that happened all at once. It's been going down and down and down and down. It's not like this is a panic of one thing happened and everybody freaked out.
Yeah, the previous drop before all of this went down, we'd seen one on March 12th, which is, I believe, when some of the Burning Sun stuff first came out that put us to what was...
That was about when Seungri left, I believe, when he officially quit or whatever
that
was.
Things got a little bit better before, you know, kind of in the mid-May, then dropped horrendously to about where we are now in very late May. And it's just been this downhill trend for a while now. And it is one of those things where you note they're at a point where typically people joke like, oh, yeah, just release the next Blackpink song, release whatever we need to do to get a nice positive headline on our radar right now. When Kill This Love came out, despite setting all of those records, it did not move the stock an inch. And that says a lot about the quality of your product is not the thing that concerns us, and it's not the thing that's going to save you when businesses and investors are looking at where they think your company should be placed. And that's a concern. But I do want to talk about the music point with you here, Kristen, because obviously you're the newest one to K-pop of all of us. Your experience through it is just kind of watching over your favorite groups over the past, you know, maybe year or so. So what was your reaction to all of this, and what do you hope to see from it now that he's gone?
I think Shay made some really good points. I guess I've got a lot of what feels like conflicting thoughts, because I'm just thinking like, well, it would be really cool if this interim CEO were to stay so that we can maybe see some real change, but I'm worried that they're going to get replaced with someone new and it's kind of going to go back to business as usual. And I don't think Blackpink is like in danger, but I do think that other groups will be, is the thing.
Yeah.
As a result of this, which is really unfortunate.
I'm curious what will happen when Big Bang comes out of the military to this. If they come back to a company.
Which by then, a lot of... I get the feeling that, well, at that point, they will have had nearly 2 years to do whatever is the next step. You know, I mean, obviously, it all depends on how long this, whatever, trying to resolve the situation they're in. Depends on how long that takes. But they won't be coming back right in the middle of a mess. They'll be coming back when there's likely been at least some possibility of stability there.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not feeling very optimistic about it. All the right things have been done, but I don't know. It just doesn't feel, to me, it doesn't feel promising.
Well, and I think one of the reasons it doesn't feel promising is because all this stuff is interconnected, right? Like, who are the groups from YG we'd be most excited about? Well, man, I'd love to see what Icon's doing right now. Let's get an Icon. Oh, wait, BA's gone, and no one knows what's going to happen to that group. They're in complete disarray. That was a songwriter, a leader, you know, such a huge influence on that group. Ugh. Icon without him doesn't really feel like Icon, so that's a concern.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we were really excited about Treasure 13, right? They were going to make their debut. You want to debut under this? Do you think they're trying to get a new group, add more responsibilities to their list during this kind of turnover? Because shot in the dark, probably not. What that means for them, hard to say. Big Bang. I mean, the Sungri stuff is still really hard to navigate, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, the funny thing was Sungri used to be the reliable one from Big Bang, at least on, because the joke was everyone in Big Bang's really unreliable. Like, yeah, I'm going to put out an album. And then like a year later, it actually comes out. And Sungri's one was like, I'm going to put an album. 2 weeks later, it's done. But he was also the one who I heard when I was first getting into them. It's really hard to find. I was trying to fact check myself, but it's impossible to find out, especially with what's happened now. But someone a while ago told me he has always been the like troublemaker and would literally sometimes like go into YG's like office, throw himself on the floor and just say, punish me. And I was like, oh, well, should I see this coming then?
Yeah. And I also just to dash any hopes that someone like Kristen or myself would have about, oh, well, I mean, clearly that means there's only one group left, Blackpink, save us. They've got a tour in Japan from July 24th to August 26th. They're going to be jumping around to a whole bunch of different arenas and things. So the odds of them being able to record something, get the music videos going, not going to happen. So what does this mean for YG? Probably going to have to wait it out for a while. I mean, you guys remember, there's a whole bunch of CL stuff you just never released.
Yeah.
Just saying, it's there. You've had it, and we've been very upset that you haven't done anything with it. I don't know what else you're going to do right now, right? Please?
I find it weird that almost looking at this, I'm thinking, like, what's the best case scenario? And I almost feel like the best case scenario here is that somebody like CJ E&M just buys up YG and makes them a subsidiary. Because it's like, okay, now you have... CJ just cares about the money that you make, so they're not, you know, but they're also, you know, they're like, okay, you're going to do things that are going to make money, and we'll have enough oversight that you don't do something to make us all look terrible like this. They would have the freedom to, like, hey, as long as you're making money, keep going, but don't make us look bad, so you have some oversight, as opposed to now, there's, you know, it's like, what oversight is there? As weird as it seems to me, being bought out by some giant company like that is probably the best way to go. And gets the investors at least something back, because it's certainly not in the stock price.
One thing that makes me sad is, like, what you brought up, Chase, is, like, the guys from, like, Treasure 13. And you said, like, yeah, they're probably going to want to debut them or things like that. That, for one, really sucks for them, being like, oh, we worked really hard. Oh, you're going to come out. And it's like, oh, no, wait, there's a big scandal. Their best bet, which sounds really awful, might just be to, like, go to a different company. Like, I mean, like, and also that means just, like, starting over. But, like, I was just thinking about, like, here's all these people who've come out and have been screwed over. And here's all these people who have, like, put years of their life into this, gotten so close just to have it snatched right out of their hands to do it again. Which has happened before, but just, like, also it's going to be weird if, like, they're like, yeah, like, here's the thing that's coming up. It's probably just going to be like, never mind.
Yeah,
forget about that. That's actually, that was fake.
Yeah, and that's always going to be a problem in cases like this, right? Because at the end of the day, this is a very difficult call for a lot of these groups and artists to make. You know, do you have faith in what's going to happen next? Do you just try to weather the storm under the idea, like, look, it's YG, this is where my contract is? And, you know, some of these groups may not have a choice, right? We don't know.
Yeah.
Very few of these contracts, if any, are public. Yeah. So
it's hard to leave.
It's hard to leave, and even if they do, right, there's no promise that someone's going to be willing to take them up. There's no promise that people are going to be able to follow them. You know, it's a very tough situation for everyone involved, none of which deserve this, except for YG and his brother, Yang Hyunsuk. Yeah, I think I got that.
No, that's YG.
Hyunsuk is YG. Minsuk is his brother.
Minsuk, excuse me. Yes, I had it. You know what? Both of them are not going to be missed by me.
The way that everything goes, they seem to be basically like each makes up one half of the person.
Yeah.
They seem and that way. One is the creative person, the creative side. One is the business side.
Oh, no.
And now both of them are gone. And I hope in the short term, this is going to suck. I hope in the long term, it's better for everyone involved. I wish all the artists the best during what's going to be a troubling time. And
I just want Bia to find something. He's so good.
He's very good. Come to the States. We don't care about drugs. Fine. You will be welcomed with open arms.
We'll encourage it.
Absolutely right. Yeah, we'll get you with 2 Chainz and whoever else you want and just make it
Oh, God, don't put it with 2 Chainz.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. We'll see.
Joke
what
I'm not getting. Okay.
Man, I'm so jealous of you sometimes. How do you go through life without knowing who 2 Chainz is?
I recognize the name, but I know nothing else.
And I'm jealous of you for
you
that.
You are so lucky.
Yeah.
Look, I can try and teach you how, but that requires a bunch of time in a different place than this.
Yeah, that's for our podcast. Managing Your Internet Intake podcast that we'll be definitely putting in down the pipeline, obviously, because we don't do enough of these things. We're going to move on. It's time to get to our favorite segment, songs we all want to talk about.
Yeah.
These are the songs that we still have not come up for a better name for.
Look, at this point, I don't think we are.
Yeah, I think we're just going to stick with it unless someone gives us a really great idea, either with a comment on our social media pages or in a review if you wanted to leave those, because it does help people see this stuff and share it with all your friends, all that fun stuff. And we will name it and we will give you a shout out if you come up with something super awesome. But until then, it is called Songs We All Want to Talk About. We've got 8 this month. And
I got my notes.
A much more reasonable number.
A much more reasonable number. And what a weird, eclectic list of songs this is. We're going to start with one that I did not think was going to get all 4 of us, but we were here. And it starts with Don't Need Your Love by NCT Dream, featuring Harvey. Harvey, if you don't know, is a UK pop star who has been a singer, dancer, television presenter. He was on a couple TV shows, was in some web series. He's been kind of one of those celebrities in his own region, but maybe not necessarily everyone at large knowing him yet. This pairs him with, you know, the more, I guess I would say, more cute side of the NCT brand.
They are the cute side.
But yeah, so this is their song, Don't Need Your Love. And I'm going to start with you, Zach, because I got to say, I'm incredibly curious.
Not where I expected.
Yeah. Oh, I know. This is the weirdest one.
What are your thoughts on Don't Need This Love?
I put this on here for an interesting reason. It's a pretty, you know, as the song goes, and this was an SM station song.
Yeah.
Which basically SM does this thing where they put out one station song a week and it's just a random single that was kind of, I don't know, it feels like let's just try something. You know, let's just
I like that about it.
Yeah. I don't like most of the station stuff, but I love that they do it because every now and then you come out with something that's really good or really interesting.
Yeah.
This one is really interesting. I almost don't care about the song itself. You know, I don't have too much on the song. But the thing that was most interesting to me was, you said his name was pronounced Harvey?
Yes.
Yeah, I had no idea who this guy is. My brain was pronouncing it Hervey because of lack of vowels.
You know, lack of vowels has never stopped you from correcting my K-pop pronunciation. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I know. I am a hypocrite. I live up to that. But the thing that I found so interesting was that they basically just integrated him as if he was part of the group. This was not a featuring where you had...
I loved it.
This was not a featuring where it's like, hey, you come in for a verse and maybe you help write or produce the song. But he's in there with the dance parts and with the, you know, in the group dancing scenes, and he's there in the song. I mean, obviously you'll look at him and it'd be obvious, okay, you're the odd one out. You're the English guy surrounded by a bunch of Koreans. So he doesn't integrate as well as you possibly could, but they treat him more like a member of the group in this than a lot of these features where they just show up for one verse and then go away.
I'm going to jump to you, Shay, because you clearly have a lot of thoughts on what Zach just said.
I love that they integrated him like he's part of the group, and I wanted to love it more, but I like this song. I just can't. It bothered me. It was so cute. It was such a great idea, but every time I looked, I was just like, it was so jarring to me. I watched it a few times, but every time I'd just be like, oh, like this, like I'd see him far away and I'm like, this makes sense. And then I'd do a close up and I'm like, who are you? Because he's like, I showed it to my girlfriend and she's like, that is a white boy. And I was like, I know, he's just, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, he looks very different than everyone else, which in one hand is cool, but on the other hand, it surprised me every time. Like, I love that. Like, I wrote my notes, just like, oh, it's so cool. Like, he's in the same room with them, like Nicki Minaj and Idol. but it works. It's just, I don't know. I just felt so bad because I was like, oh, like, the song's cute. You guys, like, your voices, you integrate well. But I just feel bad. I just can't get over it. Every time I see it, I'm just like, Why?
It doesn't help that everyone else has the same haircut, like the thing with the, like, and he has the spiky hair, and the rest of them have the, I don't know what it's called. It's just the generic K-pop boy haircut.
Where you
have, yeah, the bowl. Yeah, it's a bowl cut, basically. And he has the spiked up hair. And I'm like, okay, you could have done a little bit more there. I think I like the idea of the thing and the fact that they did it more necessarily than anything else.
Yeah, like I like that they did it. I feel like it's probably also just because a lot of the way they also do NCT Dream is they style them very soft. They're all like, it's soft lines. And then Harvey, he has his hair spiked up. You can see, especially like also like it's partially due to his makeup, but like he has some like sharp features.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also like seeing him like, oh, this is all soft and cute. Then it's just like, boy, I could have gone to high school with. Oh, look, soft and cute things again. But you tried to integrate it so hard. I guess I'm also glad. I guess they could have just like, I don't know when I say that. I don't know what if it would have been better if they put in like old Justin Bieber.
Ugh, yeah.
Like, I mean, like, voice-wise, I'm just literally thinking aesthetically, like, similar haircut thing.
Yeah.
But
I don't feel like this was that jarring to me. I gotta be honest. Like,
it wasn't.
I feel like
I'm with you.
We already know how I feel about white people in K-pop, though. That's probably why it's jarring.
I mean, I'm aware I wasn't gonna say it so bluntly, but since you brought it up, I'm not going to disagree with what you've said. But I, like, for me, this felt very seamless. If you told me today, by the way, Harvey's gonna spend a year on the road and he's just gonna be a temporary NCT Dream member, I could see it. He fits very well into the tone that they're going for. I do think he's rather soft as like a kind of younger British star. If we were to describe his solo stuff, I think we would be using a lot of the same terminology that we use to describe NCT Dream. If you are a 16-year-old girl in Korea or a 16-year-old girl in the UK, you are looking at those respective groups and acts in a very similar way. And I think that's one of the reasons the song works as well as it does, is that it does feel very cohesive. This is not, let's throw in a verse from the featured guest. This is,
yeah.
We're doing this as a collaboration, is almost a single unit. And it feels seamless, and it doesn't feel like it comes at the expense of any individual member. It really does feel like line distribution's pretty well done here. It's a cute song, it's a cute video, and I do like this idea, because to me it normalizes the idea that K-pop can be this international thing, and it can connect with people because the concepts that make K-pop great are not restricted to just Korean culture.
Oh, I think it would have made it more seamless for me personally if it was, because it's him and a lot of Korean boys, if they did something that was like a combination of like, let's say there's three like boys from like a British band and three boys from NCT Dream. I think that would have meshed better for me.
Yeah, that way you're not the odd one out.
Yeah, because then I'd be like, oh yeah, like this is just like, I get that. I was like, that, I don't know, because they like, it would integrate better for me.
I mean, that's fair. Kristen, I do want to hear your thoughts on it.
I think I'm kind of in between where you and Shay are on this. It was initially jarring to see him, but I got used to it over the period. And I think as the video goes on, his aesthetic starts to kind of mirror more the band's, in my opinion. I don't mean to say band, I mean to say group. I'm sorry.
They're also a band.
It's been a day.
If you hadn't called it out, I don't think anyone would have noticed.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's integrity. It's a commitment to integrity.
It is. I must use the right words at all times. The soft boy aesthetic is one that I really enjoy in K-pop, and it's what's getting me into more of the boy groups, and this completely hit that for me. Like, it was a soft boy aesthetic I love. I really enjoy the song. Like, I just have been listening to it and enjoying it. And honestly, I'm so glad that this is like a true collaboration. I'm just glad that they were in the same room together. Like, we're moving forward. Yes, we're actually getting real collaboration person to person here. And I'm just so thankful for it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to like about that side of it for sure. It's going to be interesting to see as we see more and more of these collaborations between Western and Eastern artists, one of which very notably will not be on the Songs We All Want to Talk About section, but I'm sure that one of us will get to at the very least later on part two here.
Are you blaming me?
I didn't even call you out or the name of the song, but if you would like to out yourself as the villain here.
That's false. Let me just say, Zach was called out before this podcast started recording. The callouts have already happened, Chase. You cannot deny.
The callouts have happened, but the viewers at home do not know. The listeners. Viewers. I always say viewers. I'm imagining the video cast that we will one day have, clearly.
I do blame you, Zach.
I blame you, Zach.
I blame you.
I'll say it.
Because I wanted to talk about Monster X. But we'll do that later.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep going. Instead, we're going to talk about two songs that we're going to talk in one fell swoop because they're both from the same group. They were both released on the same day, both Japanese singles. And of course, this is twice we're releasing Breakthrough and Happy Happy. It's very rare that you see a group release two singles on the same day with two full music videos like that. It's even rarer that it does such a perfect job of capturing the dual identity of a group. I think that Breakthrough obviously is going for much more of a like modern trend to the K-pop. The stuff we've seen from songs like Fancy, where they're definitely getting a little bit more into the upbeat pop side. And you have Happy Happy, which is very cute, fun, summer poppy behind it. Both of these songs have a lot to talk about, but I want to start with you, Shay. when you're looking at both of these songs, which of them stood out most to you and why?
Breakthrough. I like Breakthrough so much more than Happy Happy. I honestly don't care about Happy Happy at all. Just personally, because that's not what I'm looking for in girl groups. That's why I liked the sexy girl groups, or like I like dance songs. That's, I used to not listen to girl groups and I got into them. So I was like, oh, like Hyuna, like I really like, oh, like Lee Hyori back in the day. I like Hyuna, like Chungha. That's what I'm looking for. So I was like, oh my gosh, they look so good. Look at all those, like you have that light bondage thing. Everyone's wearing black. It looks so good, and they look so confident and everything. I'm like, I can get behind this. This is one of my favorite Twice songs I've heard in a really long time. And then I listened to Happy Happy, and I didn't finish it. But I went back to be good, and we're doing a podcast on it. But that's just, it's not what I want from a girl group song. Like, I understand. I think it's completely fine. I'm sure people love it. And I think that everyone else on this podcast probably likes it a lot more than me. But
it wouldn't take much.
That's true. It wouldn't. I literally was just like, oh no, you guys have the pigtails. What are you doing? Please stop. And then I stopped. I was like, you guys started playing with your pigtails and I stopped the video if I got that far. But yeah, I'm like, I think it shows their duality. I'm just more into their more recent things. Twice has never really been my group because they do more like cutesy things. Not completely cutesy, but significantly prefer Breakthrough. I also thought they were saying Black Suit, which did add something. Took away a little bit from the song when I realized they weren't. But yeah.
Okay, I got to follow up on this because you said this to me as well. Why would Black Suit have been more fun for you than Breakthrough?
It's what I hear every time, and I don't know. There's some, it makes me think of girls wearing black suits, and that's something I really like. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple.
Fair enough, okay.
Then watch Black Dress by CLC. Despite it being called Black Dress, they're wearing black suits half the time.
I know, I love that song.
Yes, that is, and it is a great one to add to that as well. I want to talk to you here, Kristen. Do you agree on which of those is your favorite song and why?
Oh, completely. I feel pretty similar to Shay again. Like, when we were watching this for the first time, Chase, I'm pretty sure, at the 20-second mark, I was just like, oh my god, I want to dress like them. And I want to dress like them. I also want to just be a... it's fantastic. I love the Breakthrough video so much. I love these looks. And the song is fantastic. And I love that they broke out. Like, love Twice. Love the cutesy stuff. They do cutesy in a great way that I really enjoy. But this is... I love the sexy turn. It's great. And they're surprisingly really good at it. Now, I didn't have to stop Happy Happy, but I was surprisingly not as big a fan of it as I am other cutesy Twice songs.
Why do you think that is?
It's just, I'm waffling a lot here, yes. I think that the chorus just didn't grab me as much as they usually do.
Yeah, I could see where you're coming from on that.
If that's fair.
I will say, I'm going to add to the so far consensus here. I love Breakthrough very, very much. I do love that it is a sexier concept from them. As a Geo bias, I got so much from this. Oh my God. This is one some of the most incredible looks that we've ever gotten. I love everything she does in this. And that really powered it from like, this is great to, oh my God, I am playing this on repeat. And not just like the video as well. People who listen to this know that I often just listen to Spotify because I do a lot of this while I work. But this is one that I have to have just to take in the aesthetics quite a bit. And I do think that, you know, this is the next step in what I think has been a growing trend from Twice towards some of these songs, where you look at what Fancy was and even Yes or Yes, mm-hmm. there's this kind of different angle that they're going with in their most recent comebacks that I think adds a lot and that gives them kind of what I'm looking for from a girl group while still having everything that I love about Twice in general, which is just their talent and their charisma and, you know, the way that they can present themselves. I actually like Happy Happy. I want to be on the record with that. I think that of all the fun, silly kind of cute Twice songs, it's one that I... you know, would put in my upper half, maybe even upper third. I think that it's got a lot that works, and the chorus there really does actually click with me. But at the same time, I can't pretend like whenever I listen to it, I'm not thinking to myself, you know, there was this other comeback this month that they had that's right there. It's just right there, and I could just click on that one instead, and I'm going to get everything that I want from them. And what I think... up until 5 days left in the month, would have been easily considered my favorite song of the month. We're going to get to that. Not in the every song we want to talk about segment. That'll have to be for later, because I too have been hurt by the decisions made by my co-host. But before we do that, we have to talk to Zach here. Zach, you are our Twice.
You think I am the opposite to the consensus here?
That was my prediction.
Nope. Happy Happy is fine. It is. I kind of got the feeling from this song. It's like, oh, this song exists because Japan. Cutesy music works really well in Japan. And it's a good one. Look, Twice knows what they're doing. They've gotten this down to basically a science. Now, I think they perfected the cutesy songs with Heartshaker. So it feels like everyone since then has been like, okay, you're just trying to get back to that thing that you've done before. Try to do something different. And they did with Fancy and Breakthrough shows, okay, no, that was not just a one-time thing. That is not just something they were going to try and then realize, okay, maybe that doesn't quite work. No, they seem to agree that this works quite well. And they're kind of hedging their bets going into this Japanese release with, hey, two singles with very different sounds. Like I said, I don't dislike Happy Happy. I just don't really. It's another cutesy Twice song. It's exactly what you think you're going to get. But Breakthrough is them continuing on what they started doing in Fancy. And I'm glad they're doing it, especially because it helps some of the members stick out more.
Oh, interesting.
Some of them do better under this, I feel like, than they did under the cutesy style. Geo and Jungyeon are the ones I think that most benefit from this. Though Mina gets a pretty big advantage from this as well, because she was the one that never quite fit as well in the cutesy style. I know, you Chase, you love Geo and you're going to, but I feel like she has a much more, she sticks out a lot more and does a lot better in this style than she often did in the
200%. This is my favorite Twice song of all time for exactly that reason. 100%. Geo is the biggest winner of Breakthrough, and I could not have been happier. Again, I have to watch the video for her alone. She kills it. Yeah. Her looks are incredible. It's oh my god.
Cool. Well, I agree with you on that. But I'm happy for you.
Wait a second. Hold on. Are you disagreeing that the song is as good as I just said? Or are you disagreeing that this is good for Geo as you just as I just
the
said?
The looks.
For Geo. I mean, she looks really good in it. I just, because you're saying, you're Geo biased. So, of course, that's who you thought was the most attractive in it. I just disagree on who I thought was most attractive in the video.
Okay. Let me rephrase. I think this is among the most, this might be the most attractive that Geo has been in any Twice video. I think that her looks are peak Geo. Who do you think was most attractive, though? I'm now curious.
I really liked the one. I don't know their names. I really liked the one with the blonde hair.
Yes.
She raps.
Chaeyoung.
Later on.
Yes.
What?
Chaeyoung. She's the rapper with short blonde hair in this one. I also was just told by somebody behind me that I needed to make sure to bring up that Chaeyoung does get a large benefit from these songs as well because she actually gets lines, unlike some of the other ones they've had.
Very good point, mystery person.
Yes. Thank you, kind stranger, whoever or wherever you may be, for bringing that up. Because I agree. I'm glad. We have a consensus here. Breakthrough is great. Happy Happy is fun for what it is. But Breakthrough is the one that deserves your time and attention and the repeat plays. I am so glad that this is the direction Twice is going. And I can't wait to see where it goes from here. We're going to move on to Birthday by Somi. Yeah. This is going to be fun because I don't think I am going to take a shot in the dark and say there's not a consensus on this song, given the brief bits that I have heard. This is, of course, Somi, who those of you who are more K-pop veterans would remember as an IOI member. IOI famously has had a very hard time getting some of their older members to re-debut elsewhere and build careers for themselves. So seeing Somi get a solo debut here is great to see from that angle if you are a hardcore IOI fan. This is called Birthday, and I am very curious. I want to start with you here, Kristen, because you don't have any attachment to IOI. You're just experiencing this. This is your first interaction, I would imagine, with Somi.
It is.
What were your thoughts on this song?
Well, after that intro, I don't know if I want to go first, but I will. So I actually did a little digging into IOI because I found out that, when I was doing the K-pop girl group draft, Chungha was a major player for me, not to spoil anything. This might get cut out. Who knows? So I was looking into IOI as well, and I'm glad that she's got a debut. From what I've seen, she's really great, and I liked the song. I understand it might not be everyone's cup of tea, but I feel like I appreciate it for what it is. Maybe I don't want to listen to it all the time, but she chose a direction and committed to it 100%, and I enjoy it. I'm ready to hear everyone else's thoughts. Because y'all know more.
I mean, I will jump in here because I also really liked this song. I think it's awesome. Somi made produced the music on both of the songs on the Birthday album that have come out, which was very cool. She did not do the lyrics for this one, but you can tell that this is the kind of style that she wants, that she's been looking to do, that she's comfortable with. This is a video that sells itself on whether you believe that Somi is charismatic, because she's throwing out a lot of looks and attitude out there. And either you buy into all of that and you allow those, like, you know, the drop and all of those moments in the video to just kind of carry you forward with that, or you're going to think that there's a lot of weirdness and what the heck is going on and what, you know, what's going on during this long, brief stretch in which there's not really any lyrics going on. And the drop is kind of there being weird. It's a weird kind of drop. It's a weird aesthetic, but it makes the production stand out, even in a field in which we have so many other talented solo artists that can put out great songs and immediately capture people. You have to be that kind of attitude in order to catch on, because the field is just too competitive as a solo star. And Somi did not hold back, whether you love this song or not, I think this is as much Somi as Somi could have possibly put in this song. I kind of want to go, I want to save Shay for last, but I also feel like, yeah, you know what? No, we're going to save Shay for last. Zach, what did you think about this one?
I did not expect this from Somi. I don't exactly know what I was expecting, but apparently she left JYP after, I mean, she was there for quite a while. She goes back to, she was on the, even before IOI, she was on 16, the show that created Twice.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people considered her, like, she was possibly going to debut with Twice in, when she would have been 14 at the time. So I think they decided no because, you know, age-wise, that's kind of hard to do sometimes. Though she's been considered kind of the honorary 10th member of Twice. Then she left JYP and never gave any explanation to why. And apparently the story is she wanted to go and work with Teddy.
Oh, yeah. Teddy's from YG.
Yes. Well, or she's with the Black Label, which is a sub kind of like it's a label within YG. So, yeah, great time to debut with a YG, you know, and with the YG subsidiary. But
womp womp. The story does not go away.
This is the story that never ends.
Now that I've heard this song, I understand why she left. I did not expect this at all, but I like it. I like the song. I was not expecting this out of her at all. And as I think I said on the last one, I don't know. This will not go up as probably a great song from the year. You know, I don't think it's probably making, you know, any top 10 lists at the end, but I judge debuts by potential more than I necessarily judge them by how strong the thing is. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of where she's starting from her debut. Pretty good start to make. Now, I still think she should have debuted as a solo artist about 6 months after IOI ended, right around when Chungha did, but at this point, nothing short of a time machine will fix that.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. I will say, if you want to know how the YG stuff did impact the comeback, Somi held a debut showcase but did not have a performance because the performance was not ready when the debut happened. Almost as if YG was like, oh God, for the love of God, put something out there. Literally anything. Please, we need something to distract from the fact that our CEO is about to step down. I think there's definitely a lot to be said about, again, kind of the charisma and attitude we're talking about with Somi that we'll see where this goes. I think there's one person in this call who is less optimistic and less excited about the direction that Somi went here. And the floor is yours. Take it where
you will. I hate this. I hate this so much. I felt like I was the villain because I was like, oh, maybe someone else will like, no, this is why I went last because I'm the one person who I don't like this song. I like when Jay said, just like it's all sold on whether you think she's charismatic or not. I don't. I don't like this was another song where I only got like, I don't know, 10 seconds in and was like, I'm done. And it hurts me a little bit that I had to watch the whole thing. Because it's just personally, I don't know. There's something that to me, like, it's, I see why, it's one of those things of this is for someone else, not me, and not everything is for me. But I like weird, but this is not my weird. I found it annoying. I found, she kind of reminds me of Miley Cyrus, which is not technically a bad thing, I guess. But I mean, like, that's just the first thought where my I hope I'm not offending anyone with that. But I don't like the drop. I don't, like, I just thought it was annoying. Like, honestly, for me, it just sounds annoying. I'm glad that she went really hard. I'm glad to know that she produced it and she went as much of her as she could. And I respect that. That's just not me. It's specifically not me. And like, in a way of like, I want like this weird, like I wanted people to go weirder. And I shot myself in the foot because this is what happened.
You got weird.
Well, I see what you're saying. It's like she waits this long to come out with a debut and she picks something that's almost, I don't want to say banal, but it's like, it's not Like, it's a song called Birthday.
Yeah. Okay. It also, like, this is not in a bad way, but it does... It kind of reminds me of American pop, which I do sometimes listen to. And it was just... It reminded me of a bass... Like, just some of the American pop I'm hearing now.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, like... It just flowed into the... It sounds to me the same as that, which is not a bad thing. It just makes it doesn't stand out to me at all, because I'm just like, why don't I just go to listen to this other American pop song, which sounds a lot like this, but I like better.
I get your point.
I wouldn't be surprised if she does try for the American audience at some point.
That would totally make sense to me. I'm sure she would do just fine.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's Canadian. Her father is Dutch-Canadian. And so she already has the gets over the difficult speak English well enough to be in the American market as a solo artist. She gets over that from the beginning and with a more kind of American sound. I mean,
she also just looks more American.
Well, yeah, her father is white. So she's mixed. The other thing I was going to say is, like, I would still have notes on this song of, like, there are some places where I'm like, you went a little too far on this part. You went a little much here. But
yeah, it's a debut.
But rather just, that than not do.
Yeah, no, like, I'm enough. Glad. Right. Like, that's the thing is, like, I'm glad she went really hard.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that she went super hard, and I don't buy in on charisma. So for me, it was, like, whatever, 3.5 minutes of, oh. Whereas if you loved her, then it was sweet. And yeah, for me, it was just.
I will fully admit, I am not unbiased in this regard.
It's funny, because when I think of this song, the song that I think about most when I think about it is Dala Dala by ITZY.
Oh.
I feel like they try a lot here. Like, there's a lot going on. And am I sure that all of it works to a cohesive whole that makes everything better? I don't necessarily know that. There's some stuff that is tried, because as you both said, like, that clearly there's a lot being thrown at the wall. But at the same time, I think enough of it sticks. Where I am fascinated to see what happens now that you take the lessons from this one, now that you take the excitement that's been built around it. I don't know, maybe release the next one at a point in which your company isn't overgoing major systemic overhaul, such that you could have a performance prepared for your showcase, for your debut.
I feel like another thing for me too is I listen to boy groups. There's already a tough threshold for me to like you as a girl group. So
yeah.
I feel like that's another thing just to, like, that I would forgot to take into consideration, like Zach and boy groups. It's just you have to work really hard for me to even like you as a girl group. So there's going to be a lot of ones where, like, you could do actually quite well. And I'm just like, no.
Well, certainly this is going to be one where I'd love to see what the people listening at home think. But we are going to move on to something where, oh boy, there's a lot to unpack with this one. Eyes One, Buenos Aires, this is their time to release a Japanese album. There were a few singles from this, but this was the one that clearly had the biggest video and the most promotion behind it. There's a lot I could go into, but I want to let someone else start us off. So, Zach, what are your thoughts on Buenos Aires?
This song is weird. It has lyrics in 4 different languages. It's primarily in Japanese, a lot of English in it, and occasional bits of French and Spanish thrown in.
Right.
And so that's one strange thing right off the bat. And then just, far be it from me to be the one criticizing somebody for the way they pronounce somebody else for the way they pronounce Spanish, but the pronunciation of Buenos Aires, I think, is the way they say it. And it's just, I'm like, it was a weird, distracting thing. I try not to focus on the pronunciation, but it is strange. And the song is just all over the place. I have no idea what's going on in it at any point. There's, I put this on here because I'm like, I want to talk about this, but I don't know what on earth is going on here to have a coherent place to start talking about this. It's, I mean, somebody may point out, oh, you never talked about Violeta by them before, which was my fault. I did not mark that one down, but My issue with that one was I did not remember that song the moment I stopped listening to it. This one is memorable. This one you don't forget. I don't know if that may not be a great thing, but it is just, this one might get to the cat dog point. This one might make its way there of like,
whoa.
It could, but there may be something related to that later. But yeah, it's kind of almost reaching that point, but it's like, I don't know what's going on here.
The fact that the cat and dog corollary is now a rule on this podcast is something that physically pains
so
me.
It's so funny to me.
And I'm just not, I don't like the timeline that we've chosen to be in with that one. I'm going to ask Kristen here.
No.
Buenos Aires. What do you agree with everything Zach just said? Where how have you wrapped your mind around this song?
What a question. I think on the whole, I agree with Zach. It feels to me like there are just so many different parts. I feel like it doesn't make a cohesive whole here, both musically and visually. That's my issue. It just doesn't. It feels to me like several distinct songs and song ideas mashed together into a strange Frankenstein of a song and music video, and I just wish that the parts would have been kept separate, I guess. It doesn't I'm fascinated by it, but I don't think it works for me.
Yeah. I want to perform an autopsy on this one, but before I die,
I love this extended metaphor.
I want to hear.
Well, I feel like this is the autopsy right now.
Yeah, I want to hear from Shay, though, before I delve into the bits that most stood out to me. What did you think?
Buenos Aires. Yeah, that was a song. I mean, like, I mostly agree with Zach on it of, you know, I don't know what's going on. I was trying to look up. I was like, did I just hear French?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, it was a little weird. There's so many bad, like, the video looked odd. I was expecting more from them. Like, they're not my top group, but I was like, it was one of those things, like, I felt like you could do better, especially having so many Japanese members. I guess it is a Japanese release. They could be going more for, like, Japanese aesthetic, but I don't think it was particularly well done just on the production side. I don't think it's going to get to a cat and dog part for me. Unlike Zach.
It's iffy. It's on the edge.
But boy group songs are more likely for that anyway. But yeah, I was just, it was weird. I just questioned so many things. But I want to hear Chase's autopsy, because that's mostly I put there because I was like, why did this?
Oh, before Chase does his autopsy though, I have one strange thing on the production side of all of these videos that I have to point out is, there are a lot of ferns in K-pop videos recently. I don't know if anyone else has
ferns
noticed
are big.
This, but I feel like did somebody just drop a bunch of ferns on South Korea and now they're just everywhere? Because every video, it seems like, has a bunch of ferns in it because, I don't know.
I mean, I assume it's just a trend. I don't know. I mean, like, when I was in Korea about ferns? A year ago, there's little flower shops everywhere, and I remember a decent amount of ferns, but that was a year ago, so I don't know if they just noticed them, but
ferns have been really big in interior design lately, and just the way with the aesthetic life is, yeah, I don't, the greenery is nice. I like plants.
Oh, Korea's super aesthetic, that's probably why.
Yeah.
There's...
I was going off on a plant tangent there.
So instead of dissecting plants, Chase, dissect the song.
Dissect the song.
Or is this vivisection?
I want to know who released this song and thought it was okay. Like, not even like in a state of like, is this song good or bad, but is this song finished? Like, did it actually go through the editing process? The sound mixing's wrong. I want to just say this because I know there are a lot of people who are like, oh, it's J-pop, Chase. They have these stylistic stories. No. I have listened to some J-pop. I have listened to many Japanese singles from Korean groups. I understand that there is a stylistic element to it. but this sounds wrong, even in that context. It sounds unfinished. It sounds unpolished. It sounds like someone went through and did one pass on it and was like, eh, good enough. And I don't know how that happens to a group that's been so big and has had so many popular hits. That whole thing is crazy to me. I want to know, even more than the sound engineer, who I just, at that point, I just assume either he got sick that week or just forgot to go back to it. It was on his pinned list, and then they sent it out. It was like, oh God, I can't believe I just did that. But I want to sit down to whoever thought the 45-second kids bop rap was the right choice for this song. Why is IZ*ONE rapping? Let's start there. Why is IZ*ONE rapping? Why is IZ*ONE rapping? Who was asking for IZ*ONE? They listened to Violetta. They listened to Le'Veon Rose, and they said to themselves, where is the rap? What? What? On what grounds? Who asked for this? Why ask for this? Did anyone there seem like they understood, like, rapping measure? Did they keep the beat? Was there any interesting line? This is just not... These do not sound like people who know how to rap. These do not sound like people who understand how cadence and basic, like, it's bad. And the lyrics are worse, maybe. Like, Kidz Bop is not just because it sounds like 12-year-olds are trying to rap, but because the words that they are saying sound like things that a 12-year-old would have thought were really clever at the time. And it just feels like maybe the songwriter didn't update once they gained any amount of experience in what the music industry should be like.
Yeah, I forgot to mention in the chorus that in between the odd pronunciation of Buenos Aires, they have the English lyrics in there that are just distracting.
Yeah.
It's a little like, I'm like, there are times when I go to these, it's like, I understand the English lyrics are there for international appeal. You want to have that in there. But the thing is, if the lyrics sound stupid, it's not going to help. If the lyrics are going to sound stupid in English and you want to appeal to the international audience, don't have them in English so we can at least pretend that they might be better written.
Or go far, so far stupid, right? If we're going to go for the cat and dog corollary, right?
Yeah.
Be so right? Ridiculously dumb that it becomes so funny that you can't ignore it.
Yeah,
this isn't funny. It's just bad. And that's a problem. And here's the thing. And I swear, I'm mad at you, IZ*ONE, that I have to defend TXT right now. Because here's the thing. At least with Cat and Dog, it was short. 3 minutes, you were done. It was gone, didn't have to worry about it anymore. This is 4.5 minutes! 4.5 minutes! What in the world? Like, you have this? Like, who needed, like... There's no way you could justify the second bridge and the second post-bridge chorus. There's no need for this. I understand there are a lot of members, but sometimes you just take the wash. You don't... No one needs a 4.5 minute song in most contexts. It has to be a truly great one to justify that. But 4.5 minutes of the bad sound mixing, 4.5 minutes of the questionable pronunciation and the questionable lyrics, that takes it from, this is odd, but at least it's kind of like a funny, interesting odd, to... I want to talk with everyone involved with this project and just make sure that they understand why they should never do this again. Because I this is a mess. And it is a mess such that, again, I want to autopsy it. I really want to write like a 5-page essay on how we got here and how every step of this went wrong. I'm not even mad. I'm just so fascinated by how badly they had to f this up at every turn. Buenos Aires, that's where I stand on this song.
Chase.
Wow.
So we liked it.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
Does this mean you've come around on Cat and Dog?
No. That song's horrendous.
Damn it.
And when TXT, by the way, wins Rookie Boy Group of the Year, I am genuinely going to have to go on like a 20-minute walk. And I'm just going to have to...
Oh, my God.
This is not to defend that. This is to say, you have now had me say... This is now the worst song of the year. Right now, I'm putting it on. Of all the songs we've talked about on the podcast, This is the worst one. Not because it is as stupid as Cat and Dog is, which is really dumb, but because every single part of this song is incorrect. There is a better version of everything that they have done. Every creative decision was the... It's incredible. It's a masterpiece in how to screw everything up. But that does not mean TXT suddenly turned around on that. To be very clear.
Excuse me.
Every time you try to talk me out of a song, you talk me into a song.
I know. It's my superpower is to make you guys love the things that I hate. And I just don't know why I have this. It really does feel like a monkey's paw kind of situation where I convinced you to be on the podcast, but at the cost of everything that I wish I had my defense on will slowly turn against me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I do my best. And I hope that we did our best on this podcast. That's where we're wrapping up part one. That's the note that we chose to end on. And I hope that you enjoyed it as much as we did. If you did, like, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff. It's always going to be helpful for us. We love doing this show. We would love more people to enjoy the show that we put on together. So if you enjoy it, sharing with your friends genuinely does mean a lot to us. We've got some exciting stuff coming down the pipeline. The girl group draft that you guys got towards the end of May is, or the end of June, is just one of a whole bunch of different ideas and things that we want to get into. So thank you so much for empowering us to be able to do some fun things. I want to head us on out by giving each of you a shout out. Shay, where can the nice people at home find you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram under Shaybom, which I think will be a link, or it's Haebeom, and that's where I post all my art.
Absolutely. And there's some great art to check out. And a reminder that you are taking commissions, just throwing that out there for people who want incredible art brought into their world. Kristen, where can the nice people at home find you?
They can find me at kpignolo on Twitter and Instagram, and the way that you spell that is in the description of this podcast.
Absolutely. Zach, how about you, our lovely editor? Where can people find you?
You can find me mostly in Adobe Audition recently, but you can find me on Twitter at Rambly Badger for the usual Twitter type bull. And Ravenous Badger for when I post projects and things that I've finished, which is not as frequently as I'd like.
Well, fair dues. I'm at Chase Wassenaar, so you guys can check me out there. And all of my work content, if you like professional video gaming, is at Unicorn Co. That's where all of that stuff's going to go, assuming that there will be written content coming out by the time that you're listening to this. Life is fun. This has been a fun podcast. We're going to come back next week or about maybe 2 weeks, given that people have some pretty busy schedules, with part two of this show, which is going to be four more songs from June and our 60-second segment. So until then, goodbye, Internet.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.